Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster. That's a quarterly that's put out by the people at Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida. The topic this quarter is the adversary, or the devil. And to speak on it, we read the words of one William Perkins, an influential English Puritan preacher and theologian from the UK, and born in 1558, died in 1602. William Perkins. Now, C.S. Lewis is not the first person who came up with the idea of an imaginary conversation with the enemy. William Perkins was doing that back in the 16th century. So this is a dialogue, a supposed dialogue, between Satan and a Christian. Now, of course, it's not a true dialogue, but you can imagine it as something that does really happen to us at times. William Perkins, a dialogue between Satan and a Christian. So Satan says, "You say that you have true faith, but I shall sift you and disprove you." Christian, "The gates of hell shall never prevail against my faith. Do what you can." "Well, tell me then, do you think that all the world shall be saved?" "No." "What? Shall some be saved and some condemned?"
"So says the word of God."
"You then are persuaded that God is true, even in his merciful promises, and that he will save some men, as Peter and Paul and David and so on, and this is the only belief by which you will be saved?"
"Nay, nay, this I believe, and more too, that I particularly am in the number of those men who shall be saved by the merit of Christ's death and passion, and this is the belief that saves me."
"It may be that you are persuaded that God is able to save you, but that God will save you, that is, that he has determined to advance your body and soul into his kingdom, and that he is most willing to perform it in his good time? Herein you waver and doubt."
"Nay, Satan, I in my own heart am fully persuaded that I shall be saved, and that Christ is especially my Redeemer. And, O Lord, for Christ's sake, help my doubting and unbelief."
"Your full persuasion is only a fantasy and a strong imagination of your own head. It goes not with you as you think."
"Well, it is no imagination. It's the truth that I speak. For I think I am as certain of my salvation as though my name were registered in the Scripture, as David's and Paul's, to be an elect vessel of God. And this is the testimony of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, assuring me inwardly of my adoption, and making me with boldness and confidence in Christ to pray unto God the Father, as in 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:14, Romans 8:18.
Still you dream and imagine. You love and like yourself, and therefore you think the best of yourself.
Yea, but God, of his goodness, has brought forth such tokens of faith in me that I cannot be deceived. Number one, I am displeased with myself for my manifold sins, in which sometimes I have delighted and bathed myself. Number two, I propose never to commit them again, if God gives me strength, as I trust he will. Number three, I have a very great desire to be doing those things that God commands. Number four, those who are the children of God, if I do but hear of them, I love them with my heart, and I wish unto them as to myself. Number five, my heart leaps for gladness when I hear of the preaching of the word. Number six, I long to see the coming of Christ Jesus, that an end may be made of sinning and of displeasing God. Number seven, I feel in my heart the fruits of the Spirit, joy, love, peace, gentleness, meekness, patience, and temperance. I abhor the works of the flesh, fornication, adultery, uncleanness, wantonness, idolatry, strife, envy, anger, drunkenness, bibbing and quaffing,
that is, these are expressions for drunkenness, and all such like. All these words cannot proceed from you, Satan, or from my flesh, but only from faith, which is wrought in me by God's Holy Spirit. If this were so, God would never suffer you to sin as you do. I shall sin as long as I live in this world. I am sure of it because I am taught to ask for the remission of my sins continually. But the manner of my sinning now is otherwise than it has been in times past. I have sinned heretofore with full purpose and consent of will, but now, doubtless, I do not. Before I commit any sin, I do not go to the practicing of it with deliberation, as the carnal man does, who takes care to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But if I do it, it is flatly beside my mind and purpose. In the doing of any sin, I would not do it. My heart is against it, and I hate it. And yet by the tyranny of my flesh being overcome, I do it. Afterwards, when it is committed, I am grieved and displeased at myself, and I do earnestly, with tears, ask at God's hands forgiveness of the same sin. Indeed, this is very true in the children of God, but you are sold under sin, and with great pleasure do commit sin and love it with your whole heart. Otherwise, you would not fall to sin again after repentance and commit even one and the same sin as often as you do. You hypocrite, your behavior turns all the favor of God from you. Indeed, it is dangerous to fall again into the same sin after repentance. Yet it is the order of the prophets to call men to repentance, which have fallen from the fear of God and from the repentance that they professed. And God, in thus calling them, puts them in hope of obtaining mercy. And the law had sacrifices offered every day for the sins of all the people and for particular men, both for their ignorance and their voluntary sins, which signifies that God is ready to forgive the sins of his children, though they sin often. God's will is that men forgive until 77 times, and therefore he will show much more mercy. And for my part, so often as I shall fall into the same sin, so often I shall have Christ my advocate and intercessor to the Father for me, who will not damn me for the infirmity that he finds in me. I will abstain from external iniquity, and I will not make my members servants unto sin. And so long I trust my imperfection shall have no power to damn me, for Christ's perfection is reputed to be mine by faith, which I have in his blood. Nay, and which is a strange thing, I know it by experience that God has turned my filthy sins to my great profit and to the amendment of my life, like as the good physician is able to make a sovereign medicine from rank poison to preserve life. Well, be it that now you are in the state of grace, yet you shall not continue so. You shall, before death, depart from Christ. I know I am a member of Christ's mystical body. I feel in myself the heavenly power and virtue of my head, Christ Jesus. And for this cause, I cannot perish, but I shall continue forever and reign in heaven after this life with him. That's from the works of William Perkins, quoted in this quarter's Free Grace Broadcaster, Spring 2024. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I want you to know that you can have this periodical that I'm just reading from. And I do this every quarter. I stop what I'm doing and just start reading certain authors in this book. You can have this periodical sent to you free every 3 months. Just send an email to chapel@mountzion.org. That's chapel@mountzion.org. Meanwhile, thank you again for listening. I do like hearing from you. Please contact me with questions and comments at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Look around the site. I do believe you're going to find much that will be beneficial. There are readings from great preachers, stories from the persecuted church, Bible studies, and a whole lot more. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again real soon. Bye-bye.